Well, a very good morning to you, beloved Eagle FM listeners. Welcome to another episode of Social Time with me, Hileni Inane. It is 19 minutes past the hour of 9 o'clock, and I will be here with you up until the hour of 11. So do welcome to Social Time. And like every other Saturday, we come here and we have discussions on topics that affect our everyday lives, topics that you wouldn't be having on a daily basis or in your ordinary lives, because some of those conversations are sensitive, some of those conversations trigger you guys, and some of those conversations you just don't bring to the table. For whatever reason that is, I do not know, but here we come and we defy the odds and we have this particular conversations. So if you're new to Eagle FM, do not forget to subscribe to our services, which is the e-villager paper that is released every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And if you're not subscribed yet, you can send us a WhatsApp message with your name to 081-200-4144, and we will be able to add you to our subscription list. Our e-villager paper is free of charge. Do not let them lie to you, and do not allow yourself to get scammed. So if they ever call you and tell you they are calling you from in Olympia and that you need to pay a certain fee for you to be subscribed to the EV Ledger paper or any of the Eagle FM products, please switch off your phone. We don't do those things here. Just switch off your phone. The e-paper is free of charge, so you don't ever have to pay for us. Alternatively, you can follow us on all our social media platforms, which is Instagram, LinkedIn, X, and Facebook, and you can keep yourself up to date with what is going to happen on Eagle FM, our program lineup, things like the conversation we are going to have today. If you are anyone that follows us, you would know what we are going to have, what conversation we are going to have today, and you would also be prepared to participate in our conversation. So if you know the conversation, you know we are going to speak about the difference, or the, you know, differentiating the identity between your personal identity and that of the corporate entity you work for. And to do that, we have someone in studio who is going to help us have this conversation and understand better, and also just teach you how to put up boundaries between who you are as a person and who you are as an employee, so that you do not end up shooting yourself in the foot. Many a times you find yourself in public doing some certain things that jeopardizes your job, and then later go cry foul that people are doing what. So today we are going to look at how you can exist as a person, as Hileni, and how you can exist as Hileni, the employee of Eagle FM, just so that there's a balance between the two. So Elvis, welcome to Social Times, and I don't really introduce my guests. I like for my guests to introduce themselves and just tell us who they want to go by, so that we cannot now sit with this, you know, issues that I'm talking about today of corporate identity and who you are as a person.
Good morning, Hileni. Thank you very much. I was worried that you might attempt to introduce me, considering the topic that we have at hand.
Yes.
Okay. I don't even know how to introduce myself now that we have this question. I am Elvis Mokaya. Experience-wise, I have plus minus 15 years of experience in human resources. I've worked in industries such as the financial industry, the local authority industry, public service, environmental-related, and the mining industry.
Yes.
I've grown in the hierarchy of HR, starting from clerical level, moved as far as executive level. The topic in question is one that affects me personally, is one that has affected me professionally.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm happy to be a part of this discussion today.
Yes.
Okay.
So dear listeners, the topic we are diving into today is one that many people don't necessarily stop to question, because of the way we live our everyday lives. And sometimes you just need to stop yourself and ask yourself, how do people see me? How am I perceived in public spaces? How am I perceived when I go out to have a few drinks at a certain pub? Do people see me as Hileni, or do people automatically, label you as Hileni from ABC? So we have noticed that society really addresses us as individuals. You are not just Hileni Hileni Inane anymore, but you are now Hileni Inane from Eagle FM, or from the company where you are along, and somewhere along the way, our personal identities become tied, almost branded into the companies that we work for. And it makes it very difficult for people to just be who they are, or to do certain things, or to say certain things, because now you are tied to your company. And I'm saying this because we have this, social freedom, where we can go on social media, we can post whatever we want, we can go out in public, we can go to clubs, do whatever we want. But at the end of the day, those particular things can come back and find you in a boardroom at your workspace, which are things that you did in your personal life. So Elvis, tell us, how should people different, or what is the difference between personal identity and corporate identity? How would you differentiate the two?
Okay, let me start with personal identity.
Yes.
Personal identity is the full characters of yourself, from the date of birth, biologically, your social life, your culture, everything that defines you is in your name.
Yes.
Without some influence of external factors such as your employment, your education, your social status.
Yes.
And then when we are to move to the corporate identity, unfortunately, one would say it is easy to separate the two. There is a relationship between your personal identity and the corporate identity. It becomes a little expensive, or it is a little bit pricey for you to separate the two, because the corporate identity is mostly defined by the personal identity, because corporate, as much as it's a legal subject,
yes,
or it has an identity in itself in terms of the legal terms, it cannot function on its own without a person.
Yes.
So a person carries personal identity, then they will influence the corporate identity. So that relationship remains, the link will always remain. And we have a responsibility or a duty of separating now the corporate from the person.
Yes. And you said something that it's tricky, but it actually makes sense now, that the entity does not have an identity unless a human can be with it. Because if we just put a building there and say that is Eagle FM, then there's practically nothing to associate it to, until you put people into that Eagle FM building, and then those people, and then the company will be judged based on those people's behavior and characteristics. And then now, after you are done there, and now it's 5 o'clock, and you have to step out and go be on the streets, be a mother at home, be something else, do whatever it is that you do in your personal life. That's now where you have to differentiate the two, so that you don't get associated as the other one anymore. So how should people break that cycle of saying, now I'm leaving work premises, this is where I take off the shoes? You said it's a very expensive decision to make. This is where I take off the shoes and now decided this is not Hileni from Eagle FM anymore. This is now Hileni into her personal space.
And sounds as if it's very easy to take off your head.
Yes.
As a person that is related to an institution, theoretically and legally on paper, you have under the Company Registration Act, you have a company identified by its name.
Yes.
And then there is, just like you have said, it is there, but it can't do anything
until you link it to people. Yes. It must be represented by a human being.
Mm-hmm.
Only then it can operate. So now as a human being, for you now to dislink yourself to the institution, 5 o'clock. 5 o'clock comes, you are leaving the office. Unfortunately, society knows that you are a representative of that institution.
Yes.
So as much as you'd want to take off that hat, you will still wear it. You require some level of intelligence to know that you are supposed to separate your life
mm-hmm.
from that of the institution. It's a little bit difficult. It will always remain linked. You just have to create a balance
mm-hmm.
to make sure that you mitigate the effects of the link between the two. You will never completely dislink yourself from your employer.
Yes.
It is impossible, particularly when you are in a position of authority.
Mm-hmm.
Even for people that are not in a position of authority, but they're in positions that are of influence.
Mm-hmm.
For example, a communications person.
Yes.
A communications person cannot, wherever that you see them, if an advert comes or anything about an institution comes, the face of the communication guys, the minute that they see the face of that person, they know it's this particular institution.
Yes, it's this entity.
So the marriage, the divorce of the two becomes very difficult because that marriage is forever there.
Mm-hmm.
So first and foremost, as an employee or as an individual,
yes,
in question is the relationship of employment
mm-hmm.
between the two parties, which is the corporate and the person.
Yes.
So when you join in an institution, it's not written, but you have a natural obligation to maintain good faith
mm-hmm.
and to be loyal to your employer.
Yes.
We have had so many labor cases that relates to that, to say somebody have done something outside their working hours.
Yes.
And then the employer got affected by their action.
Yes.
And one would want to argue to say, but I was not at work.
Or I was not acting in the capacity.
Not acting in the capacity of the employer.
Yes.
But you have failed in your duty to maintain good faith and be loyal to your employer, even though it was not at work, because there is a link between your action and the person that is employing you, because you are naturally an ambassador of that institution.
Mm-hmm.
Provided not only the CEO, every other person that works for employer becomes a representative of that institution.
Yes.
So that's why the separation is a little bit difficult. So what we can't separate, but we can act in a caring way to mm-hmm. make sure that our actions do not spill over to our employers or to our organizations. It's very difficult to say you can separate. You can't separate unless
yes,
you're not known.
It's very difficult and it's very tricky because people are expressive in different ways after work. People want to indulge in certain activities, you know, sometimes just to make yourself happy. After a long day, you want to go dance on tabletops because you've really had a rough day. And now, people see you as, hi, it's not just Helene dancing anymore. It's like, oh, so that company, the people just do those things. But it's not the company, it's you as a person. And I can give an example of a few individuals. Guys, please don't come sue me. I don't have a lawyer. I don't have money. I have nothing to give you. But I will use Tim Ekanjo as an example. You know, when we see Tim Ekanjo, we see empty. Like, for the longest time, since I was a little child, you know, there are just certain names. When you hear certain names, you already associate them to certain things. So you see, Tim Ekanjo, you are like, oh, MTC is coming. No one even has to say anything. You automatically just say MTC is coming. And then now I want to look at the issue of your public life and your personal life and your situation at work, and we can take an example of what recently happened to the former Minister of Agriculture, for instance, whereby he's in a public space, he's in a government office, and certain things were going on in his personal life, which costed him his job. And in the past, we have also heard cases where similar things happened. I remember, speaking under correction, I remember back in the day, there's a pharmacist that was dismissed from work for tweeting about certain things or making certain commentary on social media, which also costed them their job. Because I think it's a thing of, let's say, you spoke about upholding and uplifting your organization. So it comes back to, what does the organization stand for? And can you just take us into that for people out there to consider and maybe just also learn the missions, the visions, and what their companies stand for, the values? Because there are certain things a company will stand for. Let's say if you work in health, you can make derogatory remarks on certain health cases because this is what you work for. And let's say you work in media, I can't make certain comments because people take what you say very important. And that's why sometimes you get into a space and people ask, you are media. And then suddenly they are all quiet. They don't want to continue the conversation anymore because they feel like, these people, they just go and twist stories. So already from the get-go, there's a certain perception about who you are and what you do and how that can influence the people around you. So let's take that influence and just extend it to the people around us and why employees should behave in a certain way.
Okay, there is a term that I do not have much authority to talk about that mm-hmm. relates to the question that you have asked. And the term is emotional labor. It dates from 1983
yes.
by the sociologists. I'm no sociologist. I have no much authority, but because it relates, I highlight a little bit about it.
Mm-hmm.
What you have just said now is an institution has its own values.
Yes.
It has its own mission. It has its own objectives.
Yes.
Everything around that institution. Unfortunately, when you associate yourself with that institution,
yes.
you should start having the same vision, should start having the same mission, you should start having the same values.
Mm-hmm.
So now conflict comes in immediately. It creeps in.
Yes.
And it becomes very expensive if your own values as a person are rebellious to that of the institution,
mm-hmm.
which is why today, in today's world, the first thing that they do before they employ somebody, you undergo through a psychometric test
yes.
to make sure that there is mitigation between the conflict that can come about based on your own values, your own mission statements, and the vision.
Mm-hmm.
To make sure that at least the person that we recruit should have the closest values to our values. We've had so many cases where somebody become number one in the oral interview.
Yes.
And then at the end of the day, such a person is not recruited, and they will always come and say, but I became number one. We've seen such.
Okay, Elvis, let me quickly cut you short there. We have adverts coming up.
ShopRite's deal drop is back for 3 days only. Get a 5 kg Bokomo white bread flour for only $79.99. 750 grams Ellis Brown coffee creamer for a low $59.99. And 5 kg Best Choice white sugar for just $92.99. Don't miss out. Valid this weekend only from 5 to 7 September. Only at ShopRite. Lower prices you can trust. Always.
Okay, sorry for that. We had bills to pay because if we don't pay bills, I'll not get paid, guys. And I like money. I need to get paid. So, yeah, excuse the very good conversation. So, Elvis, let's take it away.
Okay. Yeah, we were on the issue of the vision and the mission of the institution as it relates to that of the human.
Yes, and the emotional labor.
Emotional labor.
Yes.
So, The term emotional labor came in the sense that there is an expectation for an individual or mm-hmm. for a person to transform themselves so that they relate so close to the institution.
Yes.
Sometimes this becomes as if you are being forced. You are a different character.
Mm-hmm.
You believe in different things. But now, because your institution has these values, has this mission, you are forced to live the values of the institution and that of yourself.
Yes.
So that in itself, other than you providing work for the employer, you have to provide that emotional labor.
Mm-hmm.
Certain institutions have made it a strategy to make sure that you even get rewarded for the effort of wanting to change, to live like the organization.
Yes, to live as an ambassador of the
organization. Of the organization. So there are some reward systems that most organizations introduce because it is really costing and it becomes a marketing strategy when you have done it well. When you've done it well to a point where each and every employee, as much as they are different from the institution, they act like that institution. That is free marketing already.
Yes.
You'll be able to sell with that. You'll be able to promote a good culture with that. You'll be able to get loyalty and trust both from your customers and influence with other employees as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that is the long and the short of the good of marrying your values with that of the
company.
Of the company.
You have spoken about becoming an ambassador for your company. Would you advise that people, when we go out there into the world, is it advisable from an HR point of view to like introduce myself as I'm Hileni from Eagle FM, or do I just have to introduce myself as Hileni, or is it actually a company's prerequisite that I go out there and let myself known as I am Hileni from Eagle FM?
It's twofold.
Yes.
It is beneficial. At some point, when you introduce yourself by relating to the organization,
mm-hmm.
it can be beneficial to you. It can as well be beneficial to your employer. But
yes.
Let's first look at the two identities separately. Yes. How strong is your identity? How strong is my identity as Elvis Mokaya? What good will it be for me to introduce myself by linking my identity mm-hmm. to that of the employer?
Yes.
If I have a damaged reputation, it is not advisable mm-hmm. that when I speak somewhere, I link myself to my employer.
Yes.
Because then I'm calling a reputational damage to my employer. But personally, I will benefit if my employer has a good
reputation
if I link myself to my employer, because then I'm laughing on the good image of my employer.
Yes.
So I'm using that to my advantage. So let's say I'm going to engage somebody for a business transaction.
Yes.
If I go in as Elvis Mokaya, I'll just say, my name is Elvis Mokaya. That's it. It ends there. Who is Elvis Mokaya? Nobody cares. But if I really want to sell,
mm-hmm.
I'm Elvis Mokaya, an employee of this institution. At what level?
Yes.
Immediately I get the attention that I need.
Definitely. So
there is that benefit that I'm going to get. But then there is a long-term effect.
Mm-hmm.
The minute that I keep doing that, then I become my employer. Someday, when something goes wrong, I will not be identified as Elvis Mokaya alone. I'll be identified as Elvis Mokaya that works for this institution.
Yes.
Personally, I avoid identifying myself by linking myself to my employer for two reasons. Reason number one, someday I will not work for that employer. And maybe I worry that as I'm moving career-wise, I wouldn't want to carry the image of my employer. But sometimes it has given me advantages to introduce myself as Elvis Mokaya that links to this employer.
Mm-hmm.
So the issues there is the first risk that you can carry is the reputational damage that you might link your employer to when something goes wrong in your personal life.
Mm-hmm.
Equally, one would think that there might not be a reputational damage from the employer side.
That was actually going to be my next question.
So it's twofold.
Yes.
There is a time that employer or your own organization mm-hmm. will be into some kind of bad publication or bad image. And you wouldn't want to be linked to that. You are walking around town and they just know that, yeah, something was stolen from your employer.
Mm-hmm.
And the view is that everybody that works there is a thief.
Yes.
So you will not have the freedom of walking around if you are highly known to be working for that employer. So sometimes it comes in two ways,
yes.
But it takes me back to the relationship between employer and employee.
Mm-hmm.
Certain employment relationships requires you to go around talking about your employer,
mm-hmm.
wherever that you go, so that you can be able to make sales. But it depends on where you introduce yourself. Most definitely, I don't think if I'm in a club
mm-hmm.
enjoying myself, there is a need for me to introduce myself and link myself to my employer. It's not necessary.
Yes.
What does my employer benefit from that? But if I'm networking somewhere else at the sports field where other corporate identities are, it's good that I introduce myself by linking myself to my employer.
Yes.
For networking purposes, one day when I need something from NBC, I've met John that works there.
Yes.
The next day when I call them, oh, they know it's Elvis Mukaya from this and that institution.
Yes.
You have a personal relationship. It's quick for them to help you.
And so, it's also quick for you to get certain things done for your company.
Done for the company.
And then they reward you.
Consequently, it works in that way. So actually, most institutions nowadays,
yes,
they have some kind of rewards that relates to identity. If you have carried a good image, if you have ambassadored well for the institution,
mm-hmm.
at the end of the financial year, they look at how much yourself as an individual influence business.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's ways at which they write this or they appraise this,
yes.
Say, we want to see how your name contributed to the business,
yes.
of our institution. If it reaches a certain level, you get some kind of financial reward. You get some kind of recognition.
Interesting. I hope my boss is listening because I'll go do the most out there when I go one day.
You are a very good example.
Yes.
On the question of your identity being separated. For example, I think if I have to advocate, I would advocate for people in your industry to be getting such kind of rewards because you are a communications person,
mm-hmm.
a social media person, wherever you are. For example, if you leave this office and you tell yourself, I've knocked off, I'm not doing media anymore. Whatever that I see, I ignore it.
It's
because
impossible.
I've knocked it. That is not possible. You will not be able to do your work.
It's impossible because I remember there was sometime last year, we were coming from a media engagement from somewhere and we drove and we get to just here before Katutura Hospital. There was a big accident. So it's those mini buses that transport people. They had an overload and they had an accident and a lot of people were injured. But the catch of the story is that they had over 33 people in the car and everyone was being transported to different hospitals because it was kind of bad. So I was on my way home, but you know, that instinct where you are still tied to, but this is news. We stopped the car and we actually went and we collected, took a few videos, spoke to the officer that was on the scene and then you continue. But, and it happens so frequently that sometimes I have to tell myself, it's okay, get over it. I remember there was another time I was traveling to the north, there was also an accident, a truck fell and things were scattered around. That person in me wanted to ask the bus driver I was in to stop the car so I could get some work done.
Imagine at the time you were on holiday,
mm-hmm.
on leave.
Yes.
But could you divorce yourself from your employer, then you couldn't.
No, not really.
At some point.
Not really. But Elvis, when you're answering my other question, you mentioned about the practice of, you know, representing your employer wherever you go. Do you believe this practice empowers employees by giving them status or does it reduce them to corporate property?
It's a difficult one,
yes.
to answer. But, okay, this is my opinion.
Yes.
In most cases, employer has a bigger identity
than the employee.
The corporate has a bigger identity than the employee.
Mm-hmm.
So I will say, in most cases, the employee will be advantaged in such a sense to say, I've mentioned issue number one is that when you introduce like yourself as a person linked to the mm-hmm. employer,
yes,
you get some kind of personal professional advantage
mm-hmm.
or some kind of professional growth. You become a little bit bigger than everybody would have viewed you. If a person wasn't going to listen to you, they might be interested in listening to your employer.
Yes.
So it is advantageous to the employee, but equally for the employer,
mm-hmm.
because what you get from there might also benefit the employer in the sense that you're just given an example of yourself while you are not at work, but you've done something that is beneficial to the employer,
mm-hmm.
something that you might not be paid for.
Yes.
So there is also an advantage
for the employer.
For the employer and the employee. But in most cases, employer has a bigger identity when compared to the person, which takes me back to the issue of the risks that is associated. Particularly, it becomes an issue for people that have strong characters. If as a person you have a strong character,
mm-hmm.
that becomes disturbing. You'd want to be you. But unfortunately, your employer overshadows you.
Yes.
Because of your position. It takes me back to the actual issue where I've said emotional labor. That's what you pay. That's what you pay.
To be employed.
To be employed. Something that most people don't recognize, even in Namibia now, the issue of emotional labor is not recognized. Nobody pays for emotional labor. But these are extra things that employee offers to employer without employer recognizing them.
Yes. And I think to a certain extent, it's a right, and it becomes very frustrating because, for one, I'm one of those people that share a lot of memes. And I think all of us now know what memes are. It's basically just a lot of, you know, nonsense humor that makes you laugh. But then there are days where I have to stop in my tracks and I'm like, someone once asked me something and they were like, but if your boss knew the things you do, what would they say? And my answer was, but I'm not at work. This is like my personal space out of the office. And to a certain extent, I'm allowed to live my life. Like, I'm allowed to be able to have my definition of fun. I'm allowed to do things that actually also make me happy. Like, yes, employment makes me happy, but when I'm out there, there are other things that also make me happy. Maybe I just want to sit down and have a whole hour of 2 hours of banter conversation whereby you are roasting everyone, the president, the officers in charge, in fact, the whole country. And then people look at you and, oh, you want to give your opinion on a certain matter, but that is not what the company reported. So now it's your personal view and the view of what the point of view the company sees it from. And now you're like, but guys, that is not my belief. That is not what I feel about this particular case. And, at the end of the day, it's like I am either misrepresenting the company, but also when I do what the company is doing, then I'm also misrepresenting some of my values. So, as a person with a headstrong character like you have mentioned, how can we find a balance between just being expressive of who we are outside of work and coming back to find the balance? Or is there a certain way in which you can express yourself without harming your employer? Maybe still be able to be you, but...
Okay, first to address that,
mm-hmm.
let me start with what employer can do.
Yes.
To mitigate that issue. The first thing that matters most is the policies of such employer. Be very, very clear about in your policies
mm-hmm.
particularly those that are to be seen by the public.
Yes.
To say the expressions or views of our employees outside our work, we are not liable for such, except for certain positions. But in your policies, be clear. Let everybody know that if Hileni identifies herself as Hileni and she says something, it should not be construed as if that is Eagle FM's opinion.
Yes.
It is Hileni's opinion. Then the second part of it is, let's go back to the constitution itself, the Namibian constitution. It gives everybody the right to express themselves. So now, as much as employer would want you to conduct yourself in a certain way, employer cannot limit you from expressing yourself as an individual.
Yes.
Or as a person, from saying things. So you should know when, how to say it. Put a disclaimer to you now as an individual.
Mm-hmm.
Every time when you say something, when you know that you are identified, linked to your employer, put a disclaimer to your statement. Clearly indicate to say, this is my personal opinion. It has nothing to do with my employer. I'll advise, don't mention the name of your employer, because the minute that you mention the name of your employer in your disclaimer, you've created the link yourself again.
Yes.
So you put a disclaimer to that. In most cases, you will see a loss of a control of a narrative. If you say something that your employer believes differently and you have not put a disclaimer, you will not have control. Eagle FM will not have control of the narrative of what you have said. Everybody's going to link it to them unless they are going to come back again and make another statement. And I think in media, you know that.
No, we know.
The best way.
We withdraw whatever we said yesterday.
Yes. But now the unfortunate part is the more when somebody says something, the more that you want to close it by making another statement, that's how you keep the issue alive naturally. Because then, it came yesterday. Some people might not have seen it. And then
a
disclaimer comes in the newspaper. Then they go back to say, oh, what are they talking about? Let me go back and see.
Yes.
So it might be too late to, but the best thing is let's start with having disclaimers when we make our own statements. Let's have policies that clearly separates the two.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the other thing is people should really be conscious about statements that they make. When you are making a statement, you should just know that it is difficult to separate you from your employer.
Yes.
As much as you'd want to say anything that you want to say, you should know how damaging can my statement be when it's linked to my employer.
Mm-hmm.
As much as you want to say it, because you are a representative of your employer, I'd rather not say it to maintain good faith with my employer, to keep my employer in good standing. There are so many things that I've always wanted to say in life. So many items I'd want to comment on.
Yes.
But unfortunately, as much as I want to talk about it, I look at how much damage can this cause my employer. Because as an ambassador, is it fair for you to say something that discredits the mission and the vision of your
employer.
As much as the law does not stop you, legally when they take you to court, you'll still win because you have the freedom of expression. But I've said one word when we started, and that word is the obligation of the employer to maintain good faith.
Yes.
It is not properly written in the Labor Act to say you are supposed to do that. But it is something that is naturally, you are naturally expected to do.
Yes.
You're supposed to protect your employer from your own comments. All your actions are supposed to make sure that good faith is maintained between you and your employer.
And I think it's not just something that should be a conversation of the workspace. It could also be linked to the families we come from, the way you grew up already, the way you were raised. Like, there are certain things that you couldn't do as a child from a pastor's house. There are certain things that you couldn't do as a child that was growing up in a teacher's house. Like, they know your parents are teachers, and then they link you to a certain image. They know you are a child of a pastor, and then they also start to link you to a certain image. And even when you behave in society, you keep in mind that I don't just carry myself. I also carry the representation of my father and the church and everything else that came before that, which in a way is very tricky to navigate life. But, oh well, here we are. We are still able to go ahead. So let me give you a last question before we take a musical break, and we'll continue after that. So, when it comes to HR departments in corporate entities, do they find a balance in promoting strong, strong company brand while also respecting the employee's individuality? Are the policies that are in space in HR departments in companies that just, also acknowledge that their employees need to be individuals outside of work?
Yes, I think most organizations today, they value a whole mix of cultures.
Mm-hmm.
They accept that human beings are different. They come from different origins, different ethnic groups, different backgrounds, and our policies are intentionally created in such a way that we promote these differences.
Yes.
We recognize what an individual is as compared to the institution.
Mm-hmm.
Even when we create policies, we make sure that policies are aligning to what the individuals can be. The only unfortunate part is you have more. You find more than one belief, because you are employing people from different ethnic groups, different religious beliefs, different backgrounds.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little bit difficult to accommodate everything.
Yes.
For example, you might employ people that are Adventists. They worship on a Saturday.
Yes.
I feel guilty. I'm one of them. I feel guilty that I'm on radio today. Unfortunately,
yes,
I got to accept that there are sometimes when you can accommodate work.
Yes.
Because society, if I insist to say I can't work on Saturday,
mm-hmm.
I'd rather work on a Sunday.
Yes.
Then I'm going to conflict with a Catholic.
Yes.
A Catholic works on a Sunday. So there is some level of balance that you create there when you're creating policies to say you might have a choice.
Mm-hmm.
We might have a team that works on a Saturday because we recognize that then the Adventists might not be available.
Yes.
But we will have the Catholics.
Mm-hmm.
And then we might have a team that only works on
Sunday.
On a Sunday and vice versa.
Yes.
So our policies are tailor-made, intentionally created to make sure that we recognize the differences between the individual and the organization.
Okay. I think that makes more sense, and it would be nice if a lot of companies or a lot of people had policies such as that, because especially in this industry where it's the communications, the medium, there are certain things that sometimes don't align with your personal brand. And I think that is where we have stories where certain journalists or certain individuals can cover certain stories, certain individuals can cover certain things for a company. And I've also seen it here. Like, there are, obviously we have partners and we work with a lot of people, business people, retail stores that sell alcohol, and some people are against alcohol. And you would come to see that there is so many things happening at the same time. So now it's for the company to find a balance to say, but if Heleni does not associate herself to A, B, C, and D. Can we not send the next person because the next person does not have a problem doing that particular thing? And at the end of the day, the mandates of the company will still be met. The work will still be done and everyone will then be able to find a balance. So, dear listeners, to join our conversation in studio, the number is 083-888-401, 083-888-401. And we will quickly take a musical break and just be back right after this. I will leave you with Mario, Care For You.
That this vision can't be mine, cause the shore won't draw the line when water rots in with the tide. And for once I am drifting, but not on my own. And now I'm right where I should have been, here with you all alone. I put me in the lead. All those nights I was weak, I gave up while you held it down. You're still here, but I know that your heart's getting cold. I'm holding tight, it's getting real now. Cause I can't lose. Cause I care for you.
Don't you dare try and reappear after you already got me standing here. I can't believe you'd come at me looking for a little bit of something.
sympathy. Like I wasn't the one you left all alone crying, looking like a hot mess. Don't show your face round here anymore. This is something you better get through your head. Cause I'm giving you up, just like I did the Marlboro Lights. And I'm giving you up the same way I did the whiskey on ice. And it's all so tough, you turned me to a man I don't even recognize. I'm giving you up the same way you did me out in the moonlight. Now what the hell are you thinking coming round? Is it completely uninvited, messing with my brain again? You couldn't give me the satisfaction of forgetting your existence. Showed up when I thought I'd finally found the end. Don't be coming over looking for a conversation, dropping little hints that you won't be back again. Cause I'm so sick and tired of the little lies that tell me so. Here is all I'm saying, baby, better listen in. Cause I'm giving you up, just like I did the Marlboro. Giving you up the same way I did the whiskey on ice. And it's all so tough, you turn me into a man I don't even recognize. I'm giving you up the same way you did me out in the moonlight. Yeah, I'm giving you, giving you, giving you up. Yeah, I'm letting go of all the things that held their grips on me. With you being my first priority, cause death isn't worth the weight of your love no more. Yeah, I'm packing up, leaving, closing shop. There ain't no use for you in this heart.
Hey, welcome back to Social Time with me. And if you're just joining us right now, you are tuned in to Social Time. That is on Eagle FM, your number one talk radio station. And I will be with you up until 11 o'clock. So if you just joined us right now, we are having a conversation about finding a balance and differentiating between personal identity and corporate identity, and how the two can either make or break you, especially in this modern day with social media and a lot of other things that just keep you guys saying whatever you want, whenever and however. So I am joined by Elvis, who is just helping us answer a few questions and understanding the conversation better, just so that you do not end up making the same mistakes other people have made in the past in differentiating between the two, and also finding a balance so that you can live your personal life as well as be a good ambassador of the company that you work for. So Elvis, Just to continue where we have left off, I would like to know, so when someone does something in their private space, in their personal life, at home or wherever it may have been, should they be disciplined at work, or should their private behavior become, if it reflects badly on the company, should it be disciplined at work?
I think let me answer that one straightforward,
mm-hmm.
without saying it can be, it cannot be.
Yes.
When somebody acts in a way that creates damage
mm-hmm.
to the image of their employer.
Yes.
Or to the idea, obviously affecting the identity of their employer.
Yes.
They failed in their obligation to maintain good faith or to maintain the good image of their employer.
Yes.
I will go back again and say, as much as it is not clearly mentioned as a misconduct
mm-hmm.
in the Labor Act, it is mostly mentioned as a misconduct in the policies of most employers.
Yes.
Every careful employer knows to put that statement in to say your conduct, you are not allowed to conduct yourself in any way that can damage mm-hmm. the image of your employer.
Yes.
So it is indeed a misconduct. You should be disciplined, notwithstanding
mm-hmm.
the constitution, which says you have the freedom of expression.
Mm-hmm.
A reasonable test must be done.
Yes.
Somebody needs to identify, which is why when you are to be disciplined, there is usually an independent disciplinary committee that is formed up to test
mm-hmm.
if your conduct indeed have created damage to the employer. It cannot just simply be to say you said this and now we are supposed to discipline you.
Yes. So it could be a lengthy process.
Evidence must be provided to say your statement costed us sales. Your statement
mm-hmm.
costed us a potential engagement with a certain business. Your statement affected the view of the public of ours.
Yes.
It can't just be because I've said something that people don't like, then my employer wants to take me on it. There should be a direct negative effect on my employer
mm-hmm.
based on what my action is and what I've said or what I've done.
Okay. And so when this happens, when the committee that stands on its own comes and do this test, can it be contested by the employer, or how lengthy is the process, and should the employer be out of employment during that period where investigations are ongoing, or how are some of the cases that you may have seen here in Namibia? What happens then in that duration where a person is still under investigation?
It all depends on what that particular offense is.
Mm-hmm.
And there are conditions or reasons that justifies a suspension, for example, if that's what you are trying to ask
mm-hmm.
of an employee. For example, if you are investigating an employee and there is the likelihood that if they remain in employment while you are doing the investigation, they might affect the information that you get, they might influence the investigation.
Mm-hmm.
They might find a way to close off all the loopholes.
Yes.
The first thing that you do is you suspend them to make sure that your investigation is done independently. The second other reason as to why you might suspend somebody is when you have reasons to believe that if I keep this person in employment, even before they are found guilty,
mm-hmm.
in the process while I'm still investigating, they might continue causing harm to the employer
mm-hmm.
if that likelihood is there. And in most cases, it should be proven. Or potentially you must show that it exists. Then that's a ground for a suspension.
Yes.
One good example is if somebody has said something and the whole community is up in arms trying to link you as an employer to a statement that was made by that employee.
Yes.
So much that you can't easily engage with your customers because of that person. The first thing that you would need to do is to divorce with that person, even if it's temporal.
Mm-hmm.
But be clear when you do it to say, we have not found this person guilty. We are running an independent investigation.
Yes.
But in the meantime, we have found it necessary to place this person on suspension. Be very careful about it.
Yes.
Because you are not sure of how your investigations might unfold.
Mm-hmm.
You might not find them guilty. The best thing to do is to make sure that they are suspended with all the benefits. That way, they are not suffering the prejudice of being convicted before
they are found guilty or not guilty.
Otherwise, you will suspend somebody without pay. At the end of the day, you realize that they were not guilty. They are not guilty, and they suffered some inconveniences because of public opinion. Now you have to pay all such legal obligations.
Yes.
The other word that I wanted us not to leave without talking about today, when it comes to the issue of an employee being dealt with or being disciplined for their actions outside work, is the key word. It's globally recognized when it comes to the topic that we have today, the term of vicarious liability or vicarious liability, depending on who is calling it, the most philosophers will pronounce it.
Now I have to look that up and just see what it means.
Pronounce it differently. The test of vicarious liability is a very difficult one to make.
Okay, let's start with Elvis. Let me take you back a bit. Let's start with you defining for the listeners and myself what vicarious means. And, you know, sir, sometimes we hear the words and you understand liability, but you don't understand what came before that. And you're like, okay, what is going on? And I'm very certain that it's not everyone that leaves such conversations and actually put in the extra work to say, but what did he mean by this? So that you can just also be better away.
Okay, the term comes in simple words. Mm-hmm. If I was a lawyer, I would have defined it very well for you. I'm going to define it in the simplest way.
Yes.
Depending on how it relates to the topic. It is a simple extension of obligation or duty or commitment from one party to the next. In this case, an action of the employer.
Yes.
Extending a commitment or obligation to the employer. If Elvis Mukaya is employed by, let me go to my past employer, will be an easy example, is employed by Agribank.
Yes.
And they do something during the scope of their work. Anybody that is offended by my action, instead of taking me on, they would rather take on Agribank.
Okay.
So, which is why this relationship is very important, and which is why employers should always guard the actions of their employers, the way that their employees are conducting themselves out there, because it can extend, your bad actions can extend an obligation to the employer.
Okay.
And because of that, employer can call you on for any action that you have done, be it during your working hours, be it outside your working hours. Because the first thing to be done is, if anybody wants to take you on, they will need to go on a test to say, were you doing this in the scope of your work or outside the scope of your work?
Yes.
And sometimes I would argue to say it was after working hours. But the conduct might have been business related.
Yes.
And then my employer has an obligation to deal with my own actions or to pay for my own actions.
Mm-hmm.
Because such a term exists. That's why employers are always very serious about our conducts. be it during working hours, after working hours, because one, it's simply the duty of the other party to prove, to say, Elvis did this during the scope of his work.
Yes.
Or in the scope of his work, be it after working hours, during working hours, but a test of was it in the scope of his work or not.
And I think that is why we see a lot of these lawsuits in certain industries. For instance, the health, especially the by Ministry of Health, you would come to the realization that the ministry in itself is being sued a lot because of things that happened at hospitals, at clinics, and wherever that is. And I think now I understand when you mentioned the word to say, you do something, but someone else is taking the consequences of those actions.
In most cases,
mm-hmm.
it has never been the employer's wish that an employee conducts themselves in a certain way.
Yes.
But when something goes wrong, the first person to deal with is employer. As much as I am not happy with what my employee did,
mm-hmm.
on top of it, you still come and want to penalize me for it.
Yes.
The reason why people might even choose to sue employer instead of employee is because there is the likelihood to say, employer has something to pay me, employee does not.
Yes.
So between the two, this one doesn't have, this one has. Who do I sue?
Like the disclaimer I made to say, guys, don't come sue me. Yes. I don't have.
Yes.
but someone else may have. Yeah,
someone else may have. So if I want to get something, I go for the guy that has the manifest,
mm-hmm.
unless they shrink that responsibility of themselves. And to be honest, it is costly
mm-hmm.
for employer to go through that whole legal suit to go and prove that Elvis did this by himself. We as his employer are not in any way related to his actions, and we have no obligation. That mm-hmm. is after a whole reputational damage.
Yes.
Productivity loss, because then somebody has to come around every time representing employer. You have paid a lot of money to the lawyers to make sure that they represent you.
Mm-hmm.
And that takes it takes time.
It takes time
time and money. It deviates employer from their mandate, deviates employer from the core business, concentrating on trying to close loopholes where an individual created some.
Mm-hmm. This is a bit irrelevant, but you spoke about the cost and the length it takes. Have there ever been situations whereby an employer, even if not in the wrong, have just decided to maybe given to the lawsuit or given to the claim and just pay? Sometimes, you know, you have that bright employee, that one that shines, that one that knows their job. Like when it comes to internal work, they know what they are doing. They can carry their company on their shoulders. But when they go outside, they are doing something different, and they kind of injure you, but then internally, you are also like, but if we get rid of Elvis right now, we lose more than us covering up what Elvis has done outside. Were there such cases? Do they exist, or is it possible?
A little bit difficult, because it depends from institution to institution.
Yes.
For example, in a private institution, whereas the owner is known by name,
mm-hmm.
or the owner actually has influence on business decisions.
Yes.
Yeah, I've seen such happening. Whereas an employee does something, they are being sued, an employer opts to say, to make sure that I have my employee concentrating on business
mm-hmm.
than battling this lawsuit, I'll step in and pay for them so that I have them all to myself in terms of productivity.
Mm-hmm.
Usually, additional to that, there can be some kind of contractual agreement signed to say we've covered you on this thing,
mm-hmm.
probably a cost of 100,000 in terms of legal costs. We have paid that for you. You yes. are now indebted to us. If you are to leave us, you will be expected to pay us back because we have assisted you in this way. So it's more of a retention strategy
mm-hmm.
that employers might use to make sure that you stay. a little bit different in now public institutions, because yes. public institutions, mostly they are governed by policies, guidelines and acts. So there's no way an act will find a gazetted act where, as it says, when an employee does something, we'll be able to cover for them, because you are opening a can of worms.
Yes.
Even for private institutions, they don't actually have such in writing.
Uh-huh.
It's case by case basis, just like you have said.
Yes.
When you look at it and say, look, this person is linked to us. They are in the newspaper over a case like this. And mostly you'd even check to say how much
mm-hmm.
did they cause this? Was it an error or was it intentional?
Yes.
If you know that it is a simple error that is bringing this person into this obligation,
mm-hmm.
then you know naturally their conduct is good. But unfortunately, by law, without you having an intention of doing something wrong, you might do something wrong.
Yes.
So if your test is to say, this is a good person, but they are into this case by mistake, you will easily jump in and help them. But it is, let's say your employee is accused of rape.
Yes.
Most definitely, because of public opinion, employer would not want to get into that.
Yes.
Because you are attracting public opinion to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine the public knowing that your employer is trying to support you in a case where you are accused.
You are supporting a rapist.
Yes. So in such cases, employers will tend to stay away for the protection of the corporate identity.
Mm-hmm.
We wouldn't even want to be linked to you, which is why most employers, when something like that happens, immediately they issue a statement. They suspend such an employee to make sure that their identity remains clear. But in a situation where as the conduct happened by mistake, an employer looks at it to say, first, you are dealing with this.
Mm-hmm.
While you are dealing with this, you are not well emotionally and we are losing productivity from you. And we know how much impact you have and would want you to settle this and concentrate on giving us productivity. Private institutions usually help. And even public institutions, I should just mention this anyway,
mm-hmm.
they have some kind of insurances, certain policies that they have in place, whereas an employer can default to when they are in a situation whereas there is some kind of legal obligation that they have, but not for good example that we've just said.
Okay, so let's take their example of, for instance, a car accident and you cause the deaths of other people.
Yes.
Okay, no, it's understandable. There are those things that happen because you don't have control over, and there are those that happen, and even people looking on are like, they are just waiting for your reaction.
Mm.
And I think, Before this show started, you mentioned something important and you said, it's you guys, it's the media. And in a way, it's true. In a way, the media is the one that sits with associating people, individuals to entities. And what advice would you give to media personnel out there, and just for people that may find themselves in the names or in the interest of media personnel, what advice would you give to them to just make sure that they are able to, you know, crisscross journalists and just make sure that they don't end up on newspaper headlines as Hileni from, and then just as Hileni alone? Because I know the media does that, which is for attention. It's to make sure that the readers are hooked, but there should be a balance at least somewhere in there.
As much as I'm not a media person,
mm-hmm.
I am of the opinion that in media there must be some level of integrity that is required. In media, there is some kind of policies that governs what you report,
yes.
how you report it.
Mm-hmm.
And if people really follow such protocols, I don't think media will really make these mistakes. The default position is when something goes wrong, the media looks for the bigger identity, one that can be easily known to headline. Elvis Mokaya of this and that institution, because my name is a less identity. My employer is a bigger identity.
Yes.
Nobody cares to hear about Elvis Mokaya, but somebody cares to hear about, let's say I was working for Agribank.
Yeah.
Somebody cares to hear about Agribank. It becomes a beautiful story to say.
Yeah, because when it's just Elvis, we ask, and I've seen it so many times whereby we read and you go on social media and you are reading, or you buy a newspaper and you're reading an article and you're asking, now, who's Elvis Mokaya and how is this relevant? But when they say it's Elvis Mokaya from Agribank, then suddenly I'm like, oh, okay, let me go see. When did he start with Agribank? It also becomes interesting. It catches a lot of other attention. And like you said, it's because the other brand is bigger than your own brand. And it makes sense as to why. I'm not saying me, but it makes sense as to why it's done in such a way. It's also just to attract traffic. We have to make money, guys. And what other way than getting the hook of what actually works best? So, Elvis, do you think the issue of personal versus corporate identity is becoming more complex and difficult, especially in this age of social media that is easily accessible to each and everyone?
It has become difficult, a triple difficult, if I have to take communication 15 years back.
Yes.
As communication was evolving, it became easier. People started employing more strategies to make sure that everybody hears something.
Mm-hmm.
It does not end in Windhoek. In the past, we would not receive a newspaper in the regions.
Yes.
The newspapers were always here in Windhoek until the guys that work in Windhoek go for holiday. So by the time that you hear about something, it's after 1 year when people that work in Windhoek go for December holiday. They go with the old newspapers. Only then you get to read something.
Yes.
But now, as it is happening, I'll say news is now instant. And unfortunately, not only is news instant, news has become permanent.
Yes.
In the past, you hear about it. When the newspaper is thrown away, you forget about it. Today you hear about it. If you did not correctly hear about it, you search for it, you find it.
Yes.
So
and there's always a guy that archived it.
Archived it somewhere. So the systems are now designed in such a way that media has become, it's more critical than it was. Its effects are more serious than it was in the past.
Mm-hmm.
So which is why we need to exercise more care now.
Yes.
In this relationship of employer and employee and the identity of individual and the identity of the corporate world, because the effects are much more devastating than they were in the past compared to today.
Yes.
It's cheaper now to convey a message, be it negative or positive message, compared to the past.
Mm-hmm.
In the past, you are supposed to...
Let's quickly pay our bills.
Okay.
Who are we, you ask? The National Road Safety Council is a statutory body established in 1996 with a legal mandate to promote and manage road safety across Namibia. We believe every accident is preventable and every life is precious. Our mission is to make our roads, vehicles, and users safer based on effective road safety management. So, join our unwavering vision and commitment to zero deaths and serious injuries. Visit www.nisc.org.na to learn more. Do the right thing and save lives.
Okay. As drivers, you ought to be safe out there and save lives. I'm sure we have been hearing about the accidents on the road and the many lives they have cost us. So, yeah, that's just awareness right there. Elvis, before I let you go in a while, we were tying up the subject of the effect social media has on the on differentiating the two now, especially when there is always a trail. I know it's not paper, but I call it a paper trail. Like with social media, there's always a trail, and things you said 10 years ago on your Facebook account can be found by your new employer 20 years later. And I think that is where the question comes from, to just find a balance of how social media should be used. Are we using it like we're supposed to be using it? Or is society overdoing it by combining their personal and corporate identities?
It is a little difficult to... On this part, in the past,
mm-hmm.
communication had authority. Only certain people had the power to talk about something. Today, anybody that has a Facebook page can talk about a certain topic.
Yes.
And anybody that has Instagram can talk about something. And on these media platforms, there is no control. There is no control on it. I don't know how
mm-hmm.
there can be control to make sure that things that are not actually tested, things that are not certified, cannot yes. be communicated. It's a little difficult to do that. Yes, because if you insist on doing that, you get into the issue of violating the freedom of expression again. So Namibia as a country, I should appreciate the democracy that we have.
Mm-hmm.
Both in the labor perspective and just as a nation, we have all the laws that does not allow for violation, both in the labor perspective or just as citizens.
Mm-hmm.
So we have all the laws protecting people. With the laws that is protecting people, somehow they get to have the freedom of saying anything that they want to say.
Yeah, but those things eventually catch up to you. I think this is a very important question. I have seen it in the industry. I have seen it with the institutions we went to school to. Can being tied too closely to a company identity affect career mobility when someone wants to change jobs or you just want to do something different?
Yes, it will have an effect. The first part of it is that, just like you have said before,
mm-hmm.
institutions have different values. Institutions have different mission statements.
Yes.
Institutions have different mandates. One mandate of another institution that might conflict with the next institution.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say this in the sense that sometimes when people are recruiting,
mm-hmm.
When people are recruiting, they are intentional about from which institution they would want to attract from.
Yes.
They might just choose to say, this is just an example.
Mm-hmm.
It's not to say it happens. Yeah. Intentionally say, for this type of position, we are aiming somebody from the local authority experience or local authority exposure.
Yes.
Because of this and that and that and that and that reason.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are commonly known to be from a different industry that might have conflicting mission or a conflicting mandate with the one that you potentially want to work with, you might be ignored for a position.
Yes.
Or you are coming from an institution that is known with a bad reputation. Obviously, as a representative,
mm-hmm.
as a representative of that employer, our argument would be to say, you are a part of the mess. So if you are a part of the mess, why would I think you will not come and create a mess in my...
Bring the mess culture.
Yes, so it's very important, which is why I always advise people to say, first look at the identity of the of your employer or the image of your employer before you go around carrying it with you. If you carry it with you and something goes wrong somewhere, it will be difficult for you to take that head off. They will always say, ah, it's Elvis Mukaya from this bad institution.
Yes.
We don't think he will come and do well with us. But vice versa, if I'm coming from an institution that has always done well, that is always having a good media publications, it's Elvis Mukaya coming from a good cultured institution. Even if I was not a part of the success stories, it's easy for me to just link myself to the organization and everybody will conclude to say, I'm a part of the success story.
Yes, they have
I
a
carry
good
the advantage.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes it works against you. Sometimes it works in your favor.
So you just have to pray you on
One should just be, first and foremost, if you are, for example, if you are given an opportunity to be interviewed, you need to when you know that there is either some kind of damage to the identity of your employer, find a way to rub that in the interview discussion. It's not always good to, it's never a good thing to speak ill about your employer, but there's nothing wrong with you clearly indicating I was not a part of that story.
Mm-hmm.
Because that story related to finance, I am coming from the HR side of the institution.
Yes.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Just so that you're in the clear and you're not associated to the story.
Oh, the story that you have heard about this that links to our institution. It was investigated. It was concluded. We were not found guilty. It was just media that had painted it a little different.
Mm-hmm.
So be clear about, intentionally clear about such things in the interview. Even when you are making your application, you have the freedom of clarifying anything that you think any other person that looks at your CV might be concerned about. You have the freedom of clarifying that.
So it's not a bad thing to do. You are not tainting the name of your employer. You're just looking out for yourself.
Yes. Most definitely, you will not come out good if you are saying everybody there was bad, but I was not.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I won't listen to you. If I'm interviewing you and you come and tell me to say everybody there is bad, but I was not a part of the bad. No. But there is a finer way of indicating to say, if it's too bad where you are coming from,
yes,
indicate to say, probably which is why I'm leaving, because I did not fit into the culture. I did not fit into the culture. It's not to say it is wrong. It's just not me.
Yes.
To be associated to that culture, I prefer something different.
And that makes sense. I'm actually learning a lot today. It's like free HR lessons for beginners. our last question for today is, if you had to give advice to both companies and employees on creating healthier boundaries between the person and the profession, what would it be?
Okay, I'll start with employees. The first thing that I'll advise employees to do is carefully read the code of conduct of your employer.
Mm-hmm.
Carefully read the policies. See what is referred to as a misconduct in terms of your action, be it at work, even outside work, any other thing that you might do that might come up and you'll be told you misconduct and you'll be like, but I didn't know. I thought this was after hours. Mm-hmm. I thought this action was okay.
Yes.
That is the first thing. The second thing is accept, as an employee, accept the fact that you are the ambassador of your employer, even if you are not told you are an ambassador.
Mm-hmm.
Most definitely, if you see an advert and you apply for a job, it's because you want to be linked to those people.
Yes.
It's because you believe exactly in what they believe in. I know sometimes we take a job because we want to be paid.
Yes.
We don't care whether it is. But unfortunately, if you make that sacrifice, you must sacrifice to say, I believe. I'm forcing
I'll start
myself
to believe.
To be, yes. That is the key. Then when you do that, you will not, in most cases, conflict with your employer when it comes to the identity,
mm-hmm.
because your identity will be more similar.
Yes.
And then as for the employer, I think it's the same. Make sure that you have clear policies on this. Make sure that your expectation of the conduct of an employee, even after hours,
mm-hmm.
is made clear. This is something that employers should always sing about
mm-hmm.
every day. Refresher, induction programs on this thing. Because the effect in terms of legal obligations that might come because of any action of an employee,
yes.
Which might spill over to employer, it might be too expensive. And it might be too late for you to correct. You might pay for it,
mm-hmm.
but you will not be able to restore the damage of reputation.
Yes.
That cannot be converted into money, unfortunately.
And unfortunately, that is why there's a saying that says some people are not employable anymore. You come to an extent where they cannot employ you anymore. So, Elvis, we are at the very end of our conversation. Is there anything at all that I may not have touched on that you would want to add on to leave the listeners and myself with, or have we done everything there was to do?
No, I think I can just, since you were asking questions,
mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if I answered everything. Maybe let me take a 1 or 2 minutes to just recap the discussion,
mm-hmm.
and what it is, or what is it that I thought I wanted to share with the audience today on this topic.
Yes.
The key words that I'd want everybody that find this topic relevant to worry about is the care of the contractual relationship between. That is between the corporate,
yes.
and the individual.
Mm-hmm.
There is expectations mentioned in this relationship, be mm-hmm. it an agreement. Some employment relationships are not even in writing.
Yes.
But that does not nullify the fact that you are into a contractual relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So the discussion of what employer expects, how the employee should conduct themselves, with the sole objective of making sure that their identity does not tarnish that of employer,
mm-hmm.
should always be very clear. The expressed obligation, somewhere, somehow in your policies, always make sure that you put this in your documentations or in your policies to make sure that employee fulfills their obligation of maintaining good faith
mm-hmm.
with the employer, one of which that is being a brand ambassador.
Yes.
It is critical for employers or for the corporate institutions to know, to carry a good identity.
Mm-hmm.
And that can only be carried by individuals. The benefits thereof are, for example, is a retention. If Elvis Mukaya goes around speaking good about his employer, there will be a next guy that wants to work for that employer.
Yes.
Because they see how happy Elvis is,
mm-hmm.
how proud Elvis is,
yes.
about their employer.
Yes.
So that's a good retention, attraction strategy,
mm-hmm.
that employers can use, which is why it's important for employers to take care of this.
Mm-hmm.
Between employer and employee, we have the bigger person and the smaller person. Unfortunately, people don't want to hear this, but it's just the actual truth.
Yes.
Employer, in most cases, we are equal before the law,
mm-hmm.
but in most cases, because of resources and all these other things, employer is bigger than employee.
Mm-hmm.
So the expectation of making sure that this is done well, it's more on the employer.
Mm-hmm.
I will urge each and every employer to put care on making sure that this relationship does not conflict.
Mm-hmm.
The identity of the two is not affected.
Yes.
Employee's identity does not affect that of the corporate, and the corporate's identity does not affect that of the employee.
Mm-hmm.
If employers or the corporate takes this as an obligation, something that they must design strategies about to make sure that it's done well,
mm-hmm.
I think this relationship will be better than it is.
Yes.
The word that I've mostly said, because of the issue of vicarious liability, it is important for employer to make sure that everybody knows their expectation, nobody damages the other.
The other person's reputation.
Yes, because the costs that might be linked to this because of the term vicarious liability, it's not one that employer is willing to deal with. And in most cases, employer will suffer a lot. And then the last part of it is, as much as this is happening, I'd highly advise the corporate worlds to respect the freedom of their employees.
Mm-hmm.
Be intentional about your policies to make sure that your image is protected, your identity is protected, but not in such a way that the freedom of your employees is violated.
Yes.
Find a way for the employees to still feel like, yes, I'm forced, I'm somehow expected to do this. In fact, they should not feel like they are forced to behave in a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
They should enjoy behaving in a certain way for the satisfaction of the image of their employer.
Voluntarily.
Yes. Find a way. Influence. Use some kind of power of influence to make employees do this. There are a lot of HR experts that can come in and help you do this.
Mm-hmm.
And it's important. Most employers are ignorant about this unless it comes out in a negative way someday. But my advice is let's take it serious as employers. Put a little bit of efforts in making sure that this happens. Be intentional, create strategies that makes this happen in a very lubricated manner.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think with that being said, I have covered almost that I wanted to share with the listeners on this topic today.
Perfect. And with that being said, the one thing that caught my attention and you emphasized so much on is the care, employer care towards their employees. And maybe it's a conversation for another day, but it's also a conversation that needs to happen because how you treat your employee, like you said, is actually what attracts the traffic towards you. You know, I have friends, I have people in my life, and you would every day your chama comes from work is just, I got, they did what they talk today. And the person is worked out, the person is stressed out, and in your heart, in that moment, you tell yourself, shiri, even if they offer me what, I cannot go. I cannot go to that particular employment. But then when you take care of your employee, and I speak so well of my employment, and I say, I have so much flexibility at work. I'm able to go to school. They are able to cater for A, B, C, and D when something like this is happening in my personal life. There's a lot of grace in the workspace. For instance, let's say something happened and I wasn't able to do something to maybe deliver something at the exact time that I was supposed to, and you are maybe 10 minutes late, and there is so much grace, and your boss is not screaming at you, and your supervisors are not making you feel like you are not doing enough. You know, such things. When I leave from here, I'm going to go home and say, oh, I'm so appreciative of what happened today. I did A, B, C, and D, but no one scolded me like a child, or no one spoke to me in a certain way. And then the next person will be eager to say, but there's so much peace at that work, or they treat their employees so well at that work. They are so understanding in that employment, and that is the one thing I picked up from what you have said, to just say employers need to be taking care of their employees, and then the employees will voluntarily want to protect that image, because it becomes like your pride. You're like, oh wow, guys, I mean, I'm treated well at work. And I think it's just like any other relationship in life. You treat someone well, they treat you well. You don't treat them well, well, the results will be there. Thank you so much, Elvis, for taking time out to come and have this conversation with us today. And if that's it from your side, I will have to put on a musical item and just come say my goodbyes later when my other colleague is here. So I will leave you with Brett Young, in case you didn't know. And that is it from Elvis. Say goodbye. Let me not say goodbye on your behalf.
Okay. Thank you very much, Helen,
yes,
for having me. I think as an HR practitioner, every opportunity like this, I count it as training. I'll leave here and I'll go back to my diary and record to say I've had 2 hours of learning today. In your speech, I picked a few things that I'd want to go and research on.
Yes.
I wish there were questions from the listeners, but I think...
Actually, one more, I think two were calling when you were speaking, and I was like, okay, let them just hold on a bit longer. And by the time you were done, I think they had also given up. Such a tricky matter with this telephone. Yes.
I think let me put a disclaimer.
Mm-hmm.
What I've said here today, I've said because of my own experience.
Mm-hmm.
I've said it is not in any way linked to my employer.
Yes.
I without noticing, mentioned one of my ex-employers when I was giving examples.
Yes.
I wish in a way that is not going to cause them any damage. If it does in any way, I'm apologizing. It didn't happen intentionally. It's just that you have worked there and you are giving an example of your past employers.
Yes.
The word just, the name just came out. I didn't choose to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So I, like you said, I wouldn't want to be sued for a statement that came out of this. I was simply sharing my experience in HR and...
in your expertise.
In my expertise. That's it.
Thank you so much. And let's get into Brett Young, in case you didn't know.
case you didn't know, I'm crazy about you. I would be lying if I said that I could live this life without you.
Why you gotta show up looking so good just to hurt me? Why you wanna stop this whole damn world from turning? Mercy. Why you hanging on so tight if this ain't working? Why you wanna stop this flame if it's still burning? It's still burning. So if you're gonna break my heart, just break it. And if you're gonna take your shot, then take it. Take it. If you made up your mind, then make it. Make this fast. If you ever love me, have mercy. If you go out tonight and get drunk and lonely, wind up home alone, please don't call me. Say you miss me, no. If you're gonna break my heart, just break it. And if you're gonna take your shot, take it, take it. If you made up your mind, then make it, make this fast. If you ever love me, have mercy. Just break it. And if you're gonna take your shot, take it, take it. Oh, if you're gonna break my heart, just break it. And if you're gonna take your shot, then take it, take it. If you made up your mind, then make it. If you ever love me, if you ever love me, have mercy.
Well, hi. So it is 11 minutes past the hour of... Kama 11 minutes, daar lig ek weer. It is 10 minutes. Guys, what is going on? Why am I lying like this? It's 1 minute past the hour of 11 o'clock. and you are still tuned into Social Time with me, Hileni Inane, up until now. So what we are going to do is we are going to, you know, just do a quick mashup of the conversation we had here, and we are going to call it a day, and then we are going to, you know, to hand over the mic to that is Date Mike, who will then take you on with Mind Matters. So like we said, we were having the conversation of differentiating between you as an individual and the corporate entity that you work for, So we answered questions such as who we really are, should an employer's reputation dictate how we are seen in our communities, or even how we see ourselves, and more importantly, where we should be drawing the line between the person and the profession they are on. So we didn't look, we didn't get to touch on the psychological effects on it, but in this instance, you have all learned the importance of differentiating the two, the importance of being a good ambassador for the company that you work for, the importance of sometimes detaching yourself from the entity that you work for, because that image may be with you for the rest of your life. You may always be tied to that name, to say it's Hileni from A, B, C, and D, it's Hileni, and they do that at that company. So you should always be very careful in what type of settings that you say your name, that you say certain things. You know, you cannot be in ShopRite liquor shop and you are there screaming, no, I work for what? Mondingosho Marobo Mentungwe. You know, such things. So it's just a matter of learning timing and learning to say this particular type of setting calls for me to be an ambassador of my company, and this particular setting calls for me to leave my company out of certain things, because you may be jeopardizing the company. You may be putting yourself in a position where you could lose your job, or where you could do things that contradict their company's value, and it will get you in trouble and you will find yourself without a job. So it's very, very important to be able to differentiate the two, between the two. And it's also very important for you to be mindful of how you carry yourself outside of your work, while also keeping in mind that, you have a lot of freedom, and Namibia is such a beautiful country that the freedom is a lot. Too much. Sometimes I feel like the freedom is too much, because there is just nothing that can control certain individuals from saying certain things. But it's also your government given right to say whatever you want, whenever you want, however you want it. But be the person that has read the mandates of the company. Be the person that knows, if I do A, B, C, and D, it could land me in hot water. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, this brings us to the conversation on Social Time here today. I will leave you guys in the hand of, in the hands of Tata Mike, who will then take you through Mind Matters. I will see you guys next week, Saturday, same time, same place, same radio frequency on your number one talk radio station. Do have yourselves a lovely Saturday. Bye.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Omutiha, utekiroka guna, iimatina omjo. Shikao shafa sana na na nongeshifa ya ishiwike moshiwana. Iye moyao, ota ingongo tisamwene. Anangeshifa ya Namibia, ombito ombwa na wa oronjika. Seita nina omayakuro nirandisoma yoe, yongeshifa yoe kupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tinemeha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimwepo yomo programa detu. Moambo dengira selma konora hitatu imwe. Datu ndatu heari hamano tano oni aji. Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.